Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. Today I'll be sharing a message starting in Acts chapter 5, verses 17, going through verse 42. The title of the message is Press Through Persecution. Again, the message will be coming from Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 42. Please get your Bible and follow along. Also, if you're interested in hearing previous messages from the book of Acts, please visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab and you should find some helpful teachings from God's word. Before this message, let us pray. Our Father, thank you for your holy word. Help us to hear, to understand, and to apply your truth to our lives on today. I pray this message will help us all and be clear and encourage us. Let your will be done on this day. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, our scripture shows the importance of continuing to be a witness for Jesus despite the consequences. It is important to continue teaching and preaching Jesus Christ despite the consequences because we have to have faith that God's providence is at work, that God's promise will help us, and at the end of it all, God's purposes will prevail. The Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. To be persecuted, according to Webster's Dictionary, means to be harassed in a manner to be injured, to be grieved, or afflicted by some type of suffering because of a belief. It is important to know that if you are going to talk about and teach about the birth, the life, the death on the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, and the Bible says that you will have to endure suffering. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, when he told his disciples that then they would deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I spent a period of time reading a book distributed by the Voice of Martyrs organization. It's called When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Some of you may have a copy. The author Todd Needleton recounts in stories on this time travel to restricted nations for the Voice of Martyrs to meet men and women who boldly live out their Christian faith at a great cost. These stories at times were hard to read about the many people who have suffered greatly for the mission of Jesus, both here in the U.S. as well as other countries around the world. There are people as well as whole families who suffered badly and even lost their lives, and even right now because of the conviction and their belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then wanting others to believe the same. However, I would say that each story challenged me to reflect on my own life and the type of witness that I am for Christ. So the question for today, are you willing to face persecution that will come because of your faith, including having to lose your life? Starting to read in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 25, it says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Verse 22. But the officers came and did not find them in prison. They returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Verse 17 says that the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. These make up what you call the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling council of Israel, both religious and judicial. They will be made up of the different groups of people, such as the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They were filled with indignation. In other words, they were jealous. Now, why would they be jealous of the apostles? They would have a lot of reason because their power, in which this group so badly wanted to keep and to hold on to, was in jeopardy or falling away as more people were becoming believers of Jesus and no longer living by the laws of the old religious traditions. The apostles were arrested and put into jail. The scripture says in verse 18 that these religious people laid their hands on them. This is interesting because the Bible, the word hands is symbolic for power or might. So in other words, the high priest and those with him use their power, their man-ordained power. But the truth of the matter is that manpower has no comparison to God's power, which is limitless. We see God's power at work in the next couple of verses specifically. In verse 19 and 20, it says, "But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go, stand at the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" God in his great power used his angel to open the prison door and brought them all out. Right here is an important principle to help encourage us, to give us confidence to continue to teach and preach about Jesus despite the consequences. That principle is God's providence is always at work. Can you imagine being in the shoes of the apostles, being in the common jail, and then suddenly an angel come and open up the jail doors and bring you out? That is God's providence at work. Here we see that God is present and active. He is watching and his hand is working to fulfill his purpose. In this situation, God chose to use an angel to provide a means of freedom for the apostles. They don't miss what the apostles were instructed to do. They were told to go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. In other words, they were told to get back out there in the very place that they were just arrested and continue with the mission in which way they were given. Verse 21 says that early the next morning that they were obedient. They did not delay. They were obedient. In the meantime, the high priest and the council wanted to see the prisoners. But when the officers went down to get them, they found the prison secured, the guards in place, but no prisoners. This left them puzzled. There is no doubt that they heard about the signs and wonders that were being done by the power of God through the apostles. Some of them must have had great concern of what this meant. But soon someone came and said that the prisoners were back standing in the temple teaching the people. They were doing exactly what they had been instructed by the angel of the Lord. And don't think that this was just a lost cause because they were being arrested again. Even more people were able to hear the truth. And that was all that matters. Being faithful to God will sometimes put you in a tough spot. In the case of the apostles, it landed them in jail. But we should have hope and know that God's providence is always at work. Reading the scripture starting at verse 26, it says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him, God, has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him.'" Verse 28, listen to those three charges that were against them. Number one, they were commanded not to teach in this name, that is in Jesus' name. Two, they are going throughout Jerusalem and making people learn about the teachings of Jesus. And three, the high priest is saying that the apostles are saying that they're the ones that are guilty of killing a righteous man, which is true. They are guilty. In verse 29, Peter, with the other apostles, had a very important response. He says, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 29 is a reference to Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, which says, "So they called them from and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That brings us up to an interesting question. When is it okay to not follow the laws of the land? After all, in scripture, it does say that Christians are to submit to the government. For example, Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, this is a hard concept to follow, especially when we think about all the evil leaders in the world. It's hard to think about submitting to this kind of rule. The point of the matter is that overall, government is ordained by God. Government is a great gift in a lost and fallen world, putting a cap on the evil of the world and restraining evil and bringing some kind of order. Just imagine that if we did not have some type of law and order, it would be even more chaotic in this world. So I just want to say yes to God's gift of government in a world of sin. However, we have examples in the Bible when the laws of the land were disobeyed and was counted as righteousness in God's eyes. There were the midwives in Exodus who wouldn't kill the baby boys. And we have Daniel who, right after they make the law that you can't pray, goes up and kneels down in front of a window and gets thrown into a lion's den. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't bow down to a big golden statue. And Esther is told by Mordecai, you have to go to the king because we are all going to be killed. And she writes back and says, you can't go to the king. It's against the law if you go to the king unbidden. She does go and speak to the king. Back to the point of scripture in Romans about submitting to the laws of the land. There must be some type of submission. Otherwise, rebellion is a sin. Citizens to government, children to parents, wives to husbands, church members to elders. All of these are called to have an appropriate submission spirit and to follow leadership. But what is key here is that we should not carry out the mandates from leaders that are in a direct contradiction to God's word. This is because no earthly authority power is absolute. All of them have the lordship of Jesus riding over them. So anything that is a direct violation of sinning against Jesus, we must not do. Again, just like Peter says in verse 29, again, it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then in verse 30 and 32, it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. In these verses, Peter boldly tells the truth. He stands right up to the very people who had killed Jesus, and he shares the gospel of Jesus with them. And then adds in verse 32 that he is witnessing of these things, and he talks about the gift that was promised to those who obey. If you recall back to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, when Jesus told them that they were not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Here, Peter, in his boldness, is showing that he is empowered by the Holy Spirit to those who obey. This is an important principle to encourage us, to give us confidence, to continue to preach and teach about Jesus despite our consequences. Principle number two. God's promise will carry you through. This promise of the Holy Spirit that all believers have living within them since the moment of their conversion. This Holy Spirit, it gives new life. The Spirit brings spiritual rebirth, transforming and renewing individuals when they come to faith. The Holy Spirit acts as a helper and an advocate. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the counselor or advocate who sent by God to guide us into truth and to remind us of his teachings. The Holy Spirit assists our prayers. When we do not know how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character. The Holy Spirit transforms our desires and behavior, producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. That's to name a few. The Holy Spirit seals our salvation. The Spirit lives inside believers, serving as a seal and guarantee of our eternal salvation and adoption into God's family. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He provides the supernatural strength necessary to share the gospel and live a faithful life. This empowerment is what we see here that Peter is experiencing by way of the Holy Spirit. So in addition of knowing that God's providence is at work, God's promise, capital P, will carry you through. In other words, you will get the power, boldness, and anything else you need to be a faithful witness for Christ. Continuing our reading in verse 33, it says that when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called the four apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The scripture says that they were furious and they had mustered in their heart that they were going to kill. But then someone stood up. This is God's sovereignty here. One of their own, a respected one. In fact, we know that he was respected because when he spoke, they followed suit. This is Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was a huge advocate for the law. He was zealous. And how do I know that? Because there was a name named Paul, a huge advocate of the law, very zealous. This is the same Paul who, before his conversion, was named Saul. Gamaliel was his teacher. The convictions that Saul had, why he was so zealous and felt that his cause was so strong and that he had to protect Israel and the religious traditions, were rooted in the teachings of Gamaliel. Referring back to what the scripture says, Gamaliel says, "You know what? Let's think about this. Let's not act too rationally. Because if you recall, there was a guy named Thaddeus, and there was a man named Judas, and they had some followers, and they popped up. But then when they was killed and went away, everything else went away also, their followers and their mission." In essence, Gamaliel is saying, so let us not even deal with it because we don't want to upset the people because they want to stone us. So he was cautioning them that we don't want to act too rationally here because the people may turn on us. In verse 40, when he says that, they all agree with him. And then they caught the apostles and they beat him. Before, Peter and John were by themselves and they had to go back and report what they had been through. Here in this instance, the apostles, they were together. It's something about when you're going through persecution and suffering with other people. Because oftentimes we may shy away from sufferings, the persecution, because we may feel like we're going to be going through it alone, that we have to endure the suffering all by ourselves. But this is not the case, and it's never the case. Even if we may not see people facing a lot of serious persecution here locally for their faith, let us never forget that people all over the world are losing their lives right now. They're being persecuted for their faith. So as long as you continue to be faithful and be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, know that you will never be alone when there's a time for you to endure suffering. And I love what it says in verse 41. It says, when they departed after being beaten, they rejoice. They rejoice. The scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And in verse 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Don't miss this. Every day, the scripture says that they went to the temple, the place of worship, the very place that they had been arrested, and some of them multiple times. They also went house to house and kept teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Folks, We have to press on and share the truth about Jesus in our community, in our churches. And first of all, let us not forget about our homes. Our homes must be the first priority, where the name of Jesus needs to be taught. Don't buy into the lie that you have to take your family to the professionals. In other words, the people who you may think have more Bible knowledge than you. Sure, they can be helpful, and being part of a Bible teaching church is important. But ultimately, grab a Bible yourself and ask God to help you understand and teach in your own home. Again, they went to the temple and in every house, and it did not stop. They were obedient to God over man. Also, we see another principle to help to encourage us, to give us confidence to continue to teach and preach about Jesus despite the consequences. Principle number 3, God's purposes will prevail. And we should always know, regardless of what we may see right now, what we may be feeling right now, that God's providence is always at work. We have his promise. Those that have been converted, his promise of the Holy Spirit and dwelling with us, the Holy Spirit that will give us the peace and the joy to sustain any circumstance, and the faith to continue to press on, and knowing that ultimately his purposes will prevail. You must ask yourself, where am I not being bold and telling the truth about Jesus? In other words, where am I not being obedient and being a faithful witness? Is it in my home? Is it in my extended family? Is it in my church? Is it in my workplace? Is it in my community or places where I frequent? Do you fear losing a friend, a job, your reputation being dragged through the mud, your pride, not having control of knowing the outcome? Do you fear losing your freedom or even your life? We have to ask ourselves, do we love God more than any of these? The truth of the matter is that when we do not faithfully profess Christ because we are in fear of some type of persecution, then in essence, we are denying him. Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So in other words, when someone asks you, what do you believe or where do you worship? And you just give vague answers or you just kind of shy away. You're denying God. You're denying him. You're committing sin. Or you may be in the other camp and saying, well, I am being a faithful servant as the Holy Spirit gives me strength and I am facing some persecution. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you have faced some suffering. You may be getting lied on, talked about, spit on, beat on, have lost some things in the name of Jesus. And I hope that you are encouraged to press through it and know that you are not alone. There are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering because of their convictions. In fact, most are facing more suffering than you will ever know. All in all, know that God's providence is at work, that you have God's promise of the Holy Spirit, and know that God's purposes will prevail. If you remember the question that I posed to Christians earlier, are you willing to face the persecution that will come because of your faith, including having to lose your life? I do want to remind us that there is not any type of persecution that we will face that comes close to that persecution that Jesus endured on the cross, being crucified on the cross, bearing all the sins of humanity. We can't even fathom that. We can't put a number to it or even think about it. Our minds can't think that much. Having to bear all the sins of mankind, in other words, facing the wrath of God, and that's love. Jesus committed no sin. We are the ones who sinned against God and therefore deserve to die an eternal death in hell forever. But God, in his great mercy and love, sent Jesus to suffer on our behalf. If we believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Those who have not made a commitment in their hearts to follow Jesus and repent of their sins, that must be a priority that you must make and do right now, right where you are. So actually, the main question that you must answer that deserves a decision to be made. Are you a committed follower of Jesus? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are his, that you belong to him? If you belong to Jesus, then find comfort in knowing that regardless of what you are facing, it is not in vain. That ultimately, whatever happens to you here on this earth, it doesn't matter because your reward is in heaven with him. So again, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Our Father, thank you, God, for your example through your word. Thank you for the apostles who were faithful who many lost their lives, many who suffered, but ultimately, Lord God, they are great examples, and your scripture says that they are rewarded. Lord, help us remain faithful servants. Let us not shy away from persecution in the world where we may think that our image is big, but remind us that nothing matters but you. Always, Lord, remind us that we're never alone. Continue to fill us with joy and peace, even when it hurts. Continue to help us to press through and send people along who will help us along the way. Ultimately, Lord, let your name be glorified and let others come to the saving grace and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or you have decided to make Jesus as Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.